You're listening to the Whole Vineyard Podcast. To find out more about the Whole Vineyard Church, go to wholevineyard.co.uk.
Well, good morning, everyone. It's really good to see you today. Brilliant. So I'm Sarah, if you've not met me before, and it was great to have this opportunity to bring God's word to you, even though I feel quite inadequate in many ways with John having taken us through 1 Corinthians so far, taught us with so much truth and grace, hasn't it? It's been really, really powerful. John and Joni are at another local church today. They're leading, they're speaking, so do pray for them as they lead that service there this morning. So, marriage MOT. John has asked me specifically to focus on a kind of health check for our marriages. He's asked me to cover some of what we've covered in the last few weeks in a sort of practical check way. So on the stage, you'll see there's some A4 sheets. I'm going to go through quite a lot today in terms of questions, and so you might want some time to digest it afterwards. So do feel free to pick up one of those sort of handouts after the service if you want to think about some of the questions that I'm going to be going through this morning. So a little bit of background about me. So as I said, I'm Sarah. I'm married to Simon. We've been married about 27 years. And we've got two grown-up children together. And I know that in the room, there'll be people who've been married far longer than we have. There'll be people who are newly married. There'll be people who are single by choice or by situation. There'll be those who are widowed, separated, or divorced. And I'm conscious that, you know, there's all of us in the room together. And what I feel God wanted to put on my heart today was that we'd all be encouraged in our relationship with Jesus today, whatever our marital status and whatever the state of our marriage is. We all have different experiences, different opinions about what makes a healthy marriage. Some of us might have grown up in a family where parents were married, others of us not. And so we'll all have that different view of what makes a healthy marriage. So as I've been preparing for today, I sense that God gave me a picture of marriage as an allotment. Anyone here have an allotment? A piece of land that you rent to grow vegetables, fruit, flowers, plants, whatever you want to grow in it. Now, I'm not a gardener, as Simon will vouch. In fact, our dog is a better gardener than me. Not long ago, he ran into the kitchen, grabbed a potato that had fallen on the floor, ran outside, buried it, and we had a lovely crop of potatoes that autumn. So, you know, I can't compete with that, really. So using that picture of an allotment, I've got 5 points to cover on this health check, which I'd love to talk you through. And we'll go through each of those with some questions and also scripture to really back that up. So we're going to consider, firstly, floodlight, foundation, fences, fruit, and future. So picture an allotment, and we're going to go through those 5 aspects of that. And then we're going to come back in each point to start with our heart, an application of really asking ourselves, what's going on? What's going on under the surface? Back to basics. So for each of those 5, I'll come back to an application, hopefully start with heart. As I said, I'm asking a lot of questions today, and I don't I'm not a perfect person. I don't have a perfect marriage. I have a wonderful marriage, but not a perfect marriage, because at the end of the day, you know, there's so much for us to learn. Marriage is a journey for learning, for growing. So the questions I'm asking, I'm not asking because I can say yes to all of those. Please hear that for starters. So firstly, floodlight. The floodlight check. So imagine you've been given keys to an allotment and you've been waiting for this for many months. What's the first thing that you would do? Well, you'd probably go and take a thorough look at the ground, at the current state of the plot and the potential that it holds. You'd survey what you're now responsible for, and you'd get a sense of how much work is required. You'd check into the corners. You'd review what's growing already. Is that what you want to be growing? Whether there's any weeds or plants, and do you know the difference? And you wouldn't go at night. You'd go and look round the allotment in the daylight with a floodlight, possibly, just to really check it out. And you'd do that regularly over time. You'd observe what's emerging in the allotment, what's growing well, what's not growing so well, what tasks are needed, and what you perhaps hadn't noticed in another season. So as we undertake this health check, let's ask God for his floodlight We sung about it, his word and Holy Spirit to shine into our marriages, into our hearts, and show us the way that he wants us to go. Psalm 119, verse 105. Your word is a lamp to guide my feet and a light for my path. And I know that seeing the truth can be really painful at times. It's painful to face, to be honest about the reality of a situation. It takes courage, it takes vulnerability, it takes humility to face up to things. And there's been times when I haven't really wanted to see what's going on in my heart or things in my marriage that I'm responsible for. But it's true, isn't it, that relationship problems, like weeds, have a habit of growing quite fast if we don't deal with them early. And we need to remember that God is full of grace, and he wants us to work with him as we seek freedom, transformation, and healing to receive the best that he has for us, both in our marriage and in our lives. Now, if you took on an allotment, you would be prepared to spend some time at the allotment. You would probably decide how many evenings you're going to spend down there. You would think about the work that you need to commit to do, and you would put the effort in order to see the result and the fruit. You would expect to need to spend that time for it to be hard, but also for it to be worth it. And so I think that same sense of dedication and motivation is really helpful to sort of to think about as we prepare to look at marriages and relationships. So for this first point, start with heart. Psalm 139, verse 23 and 24 says, "Search me, O God. Know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. Point out anything in me that offends you and lead me along the path of everlasting life." So firstly, will you welcome God's floodlight to shine into your heart and to face the truth of what he wants to say to us today, for better or for worse? Secondly, foundation. One of the things that John said is that we shouldn't really be looking for marriage to complete us. We often talk about our other half, but actually it's not two halves of people coming together. It's two whole people, although imperfect, isn't it? Connecting and joining their lives, their gifts, their resources. So in the allotment picture that I had, it's almost as if each person's life is a separate allotment. So all of us in the room, whatever our marital status is, we're like an allotment. Our lives are like that allotment. And in marriage, it's as if two adjoining allotments, the fence comes down, and there's now this one larger plot. So perhaps that means there's double the opportunity, double the ground to care for, but also twice the work and responsibility in many ways. So knowing that, an important initial question I want to ask is, what's the foundation, the common ground of your marriage? Not only what you have in common, I mean, that's important, but what's under the surface? What's at the bedrock of our hearts? What's our attitude really like towards each other? And why is it like that? Is it a posture of self-giving, mutual love and respect, a picture of the relationship between Jesus and the church? So Ephesians 5:31 to 33, as the scriptures say, a man leaves his father and his mother and is joined to his wife, and the two are united into one. This is a great mystery, but it's an illustration of the way that Christ and the church are one. So again, I say, each man must love his wife as he loves himself, and the wife must respect her husband. So if the ground of your marriage and your life mirrors the way that Jesus loves each of us and the way he loves the church, then that's surely a firm foundation to build on. So do we make this a priority, both individually and as a couple, to center our lives on Christ? If so, then we'll have that well-nourished soil to plant into. Gary Thomas of the Sacred Marriage, a book, said, "A Christ-centered marriage is a lifelong adventure of learning to love each other with that same kind of love that Christ has for us." What can go wrong is when we put our hope or our trust in each other, or ourselves, or our accomplishments, or our possessions, rather than in Christ. And when we do that, it's like building on sand instead of on rock. And we know that when storms in life come, when there's troubles, when there's loss, when there's disappointments, we often find ourselves asking, has what I've put my trust and my hope and my strength in, has that actually shown up or has it let me down? Let's hear from Jesus. So Matthew 7, verse 24 to 27, he says, anyone who listens to my teaching and follows it is wise. He's like a person who builds a house on solid rock. And though the rain comes down in torrents and the flood waters rise and the winds beat against that house, it won't collapse because it's built on solid rock. So how do we ensure that following Jesus and living out his teaching is that foundation that we need in our marriages and in our lives? So start with heart, back to basics. Asking ourselves, are we really prioritizing time for prayer, reading scripture and worship? I know that can get squeezed out for me very, very easily. But we need to put that vertical relationship with God first. And then are we putting into action what we're learning about Jesus and then reflecting that horizontally to love each other and to love more widely, to really signpost to Jesus and outpour in order to build that fellowship and connection? We also need to stay alert to the enemy. We're reminded in 1 Peter 5, verse 8, watch out, for the enemy prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour who perhaps isn't on a firm foundation. So stand firm against him, and he is strong, and be strong in your faith. Stand firm against him and be strong in your faith. And are we drawing on the supernatural strength that we have available to us, the source of all that God as our rock can provide? Or are we instead looking to ourselves or each other to meet all our needs? There's definitely been times when I've come to the end of myself through life situations and circumstances, a problem that I just don't know how to solve. And I feel like a failure, or I blame my husband for not knowing what to do, but actually I haven't turned and drawn the strength where I need to draw it from. We're not meant to rely on ourselves. We're not meant to go it alone, either individually or as a couple. And this next verse is one that I've really memorized in recent years. Ephesians 3, 16. And I pray that from his glorious, unlimited resources, he will empower you with inner strength through his Spirit. Then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust in him. Your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. And what a difference this deep love and this source of love, again, whatever our marital status is, we have this love. What a difference it can make to our relationships with others. So that's the second point, foundation. Now let's look at marriage allotment fences. So fences or boundaries. What does a fence do? Well, a fence protects what's inside from what's outside, and it demonstrates there's value in what belongs that defined area. Henry Cloud and John Townsend, in their book Boundaries in Marriage, say, healthy boundaries are not walls. They're gates and fences that allow you to enjoy the beauty of your own garden. The primary marriage boundary is, of course, the intimate relationship between spouses. And we've thought a lot about that in recent weeks, haven't we? What should be within that in terms of commitment, faithfulness, and our sexuality? And 1 Corinthians 6:18 reminds us to flee from sexual immorality. We need to regularly pay attention to the state of this fence and proactively strengthen it, don't we, in order to protect what we value, essentially affair-proofing our marriage. And are there any early signs of cracks? Do we need to discuss and agree boundaries together about how we will honour that relationship, forsaking all others? For example, do we need to think about what we fill our minds with on our computers, on our phones? How we communicate with people of the opposite sex? How open and honest we are with each other? to avoid temptation or misunderstanding or misinterpretation. Now, if this is an area that you've struggled with in your marriage, please seek help. There's no shame, and others can support you as you repair the fences and rebuild your relationship. And then thinking more widely about daily life and routines and habits, what else are you protecting and valuing? What else are you planting in the ground inside your allotment fences? So we each have a limited amount of time, energy, attention, and money. So we've set that up so you can see the fences around. We're limited in all of those things. And yes, it spells team for a reason. So time, energy, attention, and money. And we have a limited amount, and we make daily choices about how we use those resources, whether that's in our spending or our saving habits, what and who we pay attention to in terms of socially and also in the media, and how much time and energy we spend on our work and our hobbies. All of the ways in which we use those resources and use our gifts that we've been given, whether wisely or not, has an impact on then what grows within the allotment of our marriage and what grows in our lives as a result. And that can, of course, be positive or negative. So we perhaps need to ask ourselves, what do we allow into our hearts, into our minds, through the choices that we make on a daily basis? What do we consciously also choose to keep out? So what do we say no to as well as what we say yes to? Proverbs 4, verse 23 says, "Guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life." As in, what one person does or doesn't do in those areas affects the other person. So how often do we discuss these kind of questions and hold each other to account? A healthy marriage needs to have openness and transparency and no fences between each other that we can't see through and can't get through. And that's why boundaries are not meant to be walls. Being walled off from one another, of course, creates distance and creates pain. But that can happen sometimes because of poor communication, where many issues and misunderstandings might arise or worsen because of unloving patterns or habits in our communication. Or a wall can be constructed because of underlying fear or shame that one person keeps close to their heart and doesn't let love in to heal. So what does a safe space for communicating look like? I think it's one where we're safe to express our fears without feeling judged or blamed or shamed, where we can resolve conflicts and we can grow together and we can have those honest and respectful dialogue. But it can take a lot of time to get to that place. It doesn't happen always naturally. Sometimes counselling is needed for resolving trauma, for resolving past hurts, for painful experiences. Those things can all act as walls at times, but it's really worth the work because communication is ultimately all about love, as Tim Keller says in his book, The Meaning of Marriage. He says, "In marriage, communication is the way that love is expressed, deepened, and fulfilled." So what limits do we perhaps need to set on ourselves, first and foremost, so that we become the person our spouse needs in order for them to feel safe in conversations? In weddings, 1 Corinthians 13 is often read out, isn't it? This passage explains love in action. So can I share with you this version, TPT, and where it says love, I would just invite you to pause and in your head, insert your name. And just see how your love, whether for your spouse, because we're talking about marriage, but think more widely as well, how it measures up and what God puts his finger on. So start with your own heart first. Love is incredibly patient. Love is gentle and consistently kind to all. It refuses to be jealous when blessing comes to someone else. Love does not brag about one's achievements, nor inflate its own importance. Love does not traffic in shame and disrespect, nor selfishly seek its own honour. Love is not easily irritated or quick to take offence. Love joyfully celebrates honesty and finds no delight in what is wrong. Love is a safe place of shelter, for it never stops believing the best for others. Love never takes failure as defeat, for it never gives up. Wow, I'm challenged by that. Did you notice that safe space of shelter where we can be known and loved authentically? One piece of advice I was given was make sure that you're communicating face to face, not just side by side. When life is busy, particularly when children are little, it's so easy to be functioning side by side every day and not making that time for that face to face connection. So do you need to set aside time intentionally for that on a regular basis? So what state are your marriage fences in? Where might there be some gaps and repairs needed? And if we're intentional in securing our fences, this can protect the growing seed that we've planted in the foundation, which will then go on to produce that healthy fruit, which we're going to look at next. So I'm going to cover fruit and future next, briefly, because we want to leave time for ministry and prayer. So fourthly, fruit. It takes time, doesn't it, from sowing to reaping. And we need to recognise there's different times in marriage. There's different times in our life for planting, for growth, and for fruitfulness. And therefore, we need patience in those different seasons as well as positive hope. James 5:7 says, "Be patient. See how the farmer waits for the land to yield its valuable crop, patiently waiting for the autumn and the spring rain." Now, I'm not the most patient person. I find it hard when I feel like I've worked hard at something and I'm not seeing the fruit. But we need to be patient, knowing there's time for seed to grow, for things to bring forth fruit. So what season might you be in? What fruit is showing up in your marriage? And how do you know? So I think we recognize our fruit through our attitude towards others, through our actions, through our speech, through our thoughts, through what's going on in our heart. What we see or perhaps don't see is a result of what's been planted and what's been protected. So it's really helpful to perhaps reflect on the fruit that you're seeing showing up. And what does that say about you, about your faith, and about who you're becoming? Who are you becoming? And what does the fruit say about your marriage and the gospel? Is it pointing people to Jesus? And as I said, none of these questions are there to make anyone feel bad. It's just a reflection of going, am I pointing to Jesus? Are we signposting to the picture of Jesus and his bride, the church, through our marriage and through our lives? And we also need to examine the quality of our fruit. How mature or well-developed is it? And what might that tell us? So application for this point, start with heart. Look for signs of emotional and spiritual maturity that can be shown by growth of fruits of the Spirit. So Galatians 5, verse 22. But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. So are we using the gifts, the resources that we've been given, are we using them wisely? Are we using them between us and also to bless others as well? And if the desired fruit isn't there, trace back. What are we planting in our foundations? What's going on in our fences? And we can ask for God's wisdom. He's promised to give us wisdom if we ask. James 3, 17 and 18. But the wisdom from above is first of all pure. It's also peace-loving, gentle at all times, and willing to yield to others. It's full of mercy and the fruit of good deeds. And those who are peacemakers will plant seeds of peace and reap a harvest of righteousness. That really encouraged me, that I can plant peace in relationships, not just in marriage, but wider. But it takes time sometimes to see that fruit of righteousness. Finally, the fifth point, future. At a wedding, a bride and groom will say in their vows, "From this day forwards." I want to finish by thinking a little bit about the future so that we can keep that promise we made and our marriages can flourish. it can be really easy to start to lose hope in those difficult seasons of life and relationships, to think that things will never change, or to get stuck in our past hurts and patterns. And today I haven't talked about abuse in marriage. That wasn't the scope of the message today. But please, if anyone is experiencing that, please seek the support that you need. But with regular relationship challenges, where we can be tempted to give up, and we can be tempted to stop working at things that require some effort when it's hard, or we just don't feel like it, here's some encouragement from Hebrews 10, verse 36. You need the strength of endurance to reveal the poetry of God's will. And then you will receive the promise in full. I love that poetry of God's will. And do you ever find yourself getting caught in the comparison trap? In the allotment analogy, that's like looking over the fence at next door's allotment and thinking, oh, look at their fruit, their flowers, their plants. I wish mine was looking like that. So what do we perhaps need to practice instead? And I think it's two things, contentment and gratitude. Really simple to say, but easy to do. It takes conscious work, doesn't it? And it requires us to see things from a different perspective. Linda Dillow, in her book, Calm My Anxious Heart, says, true contentment is found not in having everything you want, but in being satisfied with everything you have. And Philippians 4, 12 to 13 says, Paul says, I've learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in poverty or in want, and I can do all this through him who gives me strength. So our final application for this morning, start with heart. Can you humbly accept that each of us needs to learn and grow from the past and recognize that one of the main purposes of this life, whether married or not, is our spiritual formation and our spiritual flourishing? And would you let the Holy Spirit do that transforming, ongoing, strengthening work in your heart to really start with you?
Thank you for listening to the Hall Vineyard podcast. We would love to connect with you and welcome you home to church. To find out more, go to hallvineyard.co.uk/connect. And stay up to date with all that is going on in the life of our church, go to hallvineyard.co.uk/church news and sign up for our weekly mailing. Thanks for listening. We hope to see you soon.